Jeffy.
Hey, Jeffy.
Welcome to Hey Julie, aka Hey Jeff, a podcast about Survivor. A little bit.
Danielle,
how are you? Happy Saturday.
Thank you. I'm so good. I'm like floating on a cloud. I'm very happy.
Oh, that's nice.
I had some like, have you ever seen the film? First of all, let's get the elephant out of the room for the two people who are watching us. Yes. Brett and I are both wearing green. We did not plan to both wear green, but it's unavoidable. But
well, yours is more of a Kelly green and mine's yes. more of an olive.
Yeah, yeah. Mine's more classic Kelly. And yeah, yours is like a martini olive. But so
I would never wear Kelly green.
I would never wear olive green. It's way too camo. Oh. It's like, what? You want to join the military? No, thanks.
I don't.
Exactly. But so, have you ever seen the film Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
A long time ago.
I'm wow. not super.
You know, it's like, it's one of those ones where some people grew up like watching it every year. Yes. It's like a Thanksgiving movie.
Yes.
And I've seen it, but like it wasn't like constantly on repeat. So like I'm vaguely familiar with it. I've seen it, but it's not like when I watch it again, it will be as if I'm watching it for the first time.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, you know the basic plot. I love it. I'm one of those people. We watch it every Thanksgiving. It's so good. John Candy, how can you not love? And Steve Martin, such a good pairing.
We love yeah. all the people in it. It's just
it's a beautiful film. It's funny. It's sad. But anyway, the basic plot is that Steve Martin is trying to rush home in order to make it to Thanksgiving dinner. And he leaves like 2 days before, but his flight gets canceled. And then he has to get a rental car and then he has to get a train ticket. And it's all with like bumbling John Candy along the way. And like my husband and I like to joke because he has to go to New York for business a lot. Whenever we like to joke like, oh, we hope it's not a Planes, Trains. But this week we did have a Planes, Trains and Automobiles situation. Nope. And it was the worst because there was a huge snowstorm here and my kid was homesick and I was alone with her and the dog. And so it was like his flight was canceled.
You're a single mother.
I had the experience for a couple days, but I have an experience every month. But it was like oh my gosh, a prolonged experience because we were like, well, how is he going to get home? But luckily, he made the flight this morning. So now I'm so happy because he's here, and it's like back to our regularly scheduled programming. Danny's got a podcast to do.
I got a podcast. Yeah, I'm doing the pod.
Yeah,
I got to talk about Banu.
Yeah, it's just nice to have him home. Back to family. Wow. You know,
did he have to take multiple like planes?
He was almost at the airport and the flight got canceled last night, but it had been pushed back hours and hours. And then it was like rescheduled to this morning, so he had to go find a place to stay.
Oh gosh.
Meanwhile, I'm like, oh my God.
Where can you find that?
Yeah.
In the big
city.
But
we did it.
All right. Survivor. Episode 4. It had to come to this, right? There was not gonna be a long shot. Like either he was gonna go very far or like this is it.
And it was it. And I mean, he went out with a bang in that I don't remember in recent history. Them like just not voting and them just being like out.
I think that's happened like once in the most recent 5 seasons or so where like
okay.
It is wild when that happens, but you're like even it's not even just the tribal portion of it where Jeff's like, do we even have to vote? Can right. we all just raise our hands?
Yeah.
Even in the edit of the show when they're walking to tribal before the last ad break and the person who's going home is like, listen, this is my final night here. This is what I'm going to be voted out in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean,
he tried.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
Possibly one of the worst Survivor players ever.
He tried to beg his way out of it. Have you ever tried to beg your way out of something, Brett? On hands and knees?
No. No, I don't want anything that much.
I feel like I tried to get out of like going to school as a child by being like, please, no. But I don't. Yeah, it's been a while since I saw a grown man.
But even that plays into his extreme inability to play a social game. Like, he's on his knees begging at Tiffany's feet, hands clasped. Like, that's... What is that going to do? That makes you look like an idiot.
Yeah.
That's also not how to play the game, too. Like,
she said it. She wasn't ever going to vote for him because she was like, you want to win a million hearts? Go volunteer. Yeah. Like, don't be on Survivor with me.
At the beginning of the episode, there's, you know, Q and Tiffany and Kenzie are kind of chatting about him. And I think Kenzie says, because he doesn't know how to play Survivor. Why did he come here? Like, he could have just gone camping.
Yes. So true. So true.
For someone who loves Survivor as much as Banu, like, you would think that he would have any sort of instinct for what the game is. I just don't even know what the hell was in his head in terms of, like, just didn't know how to have a social game. I mean, in addition to, during the challenge, he doesn't know how to follow the instructions of the competition. Like,
yeah,
he jumps off of the... He doesn't jump off of the box. He jumps off of the...
I think we have to discuss, like, the jumping aspect, because it was a hot topic in the Discord.
Lots of jumping. This in the 2024 Olympics year. Lots of jumping.
Yeah. Do we need to pause for my crying?
Do we need to pause? I don't know. We're live streaming.
She's getting put into bed. Do you need to pause? No, I don't have to pause. Just being put to sleep.
Sorry to our listeners for our very professional podcast. I feel like this happens every week.
It's okay.
It does, yeah.
There was a there was some discussion in the Discord over jumping. Brett, are you a good jumper?
I don't
know.
Can
you jump?
No.
Can Brett jump? Brett can't jump.
As we know, white men cannot. That's what I am.
I can.
How far and how high can you jump, Danielle?
Probably like 3 feet.
3 feet?
Yeah. What? That's not impressive? You don't think that's impressive?
Or do you like pick up your knees? Well,
yeah.
So you can get 3 feet of clearance.
Yeah. And I can land really softly because that's proper form.
3 feet. And you can jump, jump onto like a box or like a ledge that's 3 feet tall? Yeah,
a box. That's what I'm talking about. A box. It's got to be a box.
You said in our Discord that that's what got that couple to be into you at the
Probably.
Gym.
Probably. Which I also said has now been debunked. I don't think they're actually into me. And I've seen them. I see them every week now. And now I'm like, I hope they never become like good friends of mine. And they're like, oh, we'll listen to your podcast someday. And then they hear me saying this.
So you do box jump, you box jump at the gym?
Yeah, that's like something that happens occasionally at these classes. People box jump. And, you know, I don't think people are really that are judgmental at gyms. I think everyone, for the most part, is thinking about themselves. But sometimes I glance over at when other people are doing it, and I'm like, well, I did it better than them.
So, what was the deal with Mariah not being able to jump?
I don't know. I mean, the deal was they were like, ugh, we have to fill... How long is this with commercials? An hour and a half? Are these 90-minute episodes?
Yeah, so it's like an hour total. It's an hour of content and 30 minutes of commercials.
Well, that's the answer. Yeah. The producers were like, oh, gold. We've got this girl showing how she cannot lift 2 feet at the same time. Let's make sure. Because it does, it enables conversations, discourse. Well, it added on jumping.
Drama that built to nothing because it wasn't one of those things. Because sometimes at like the first jump off of the platform, you have to jump and grab a key that's hanging there. I think they were preparing for that, hey, you need to kind of get some lift because you have to grab a key.
Yes.
You can't just fall in. But once they see her freaking out about this and the tribe freaking out about this, they should have been like, shit, we need to make a part of this obstacle course that you need to jump off and grab a key. Because they get to the challenge and it's like, no, just jump. Like, you don't even need to jump. You can just fall.
Yeah, you could just step in.
You can just run. You can just run, which is what she did.
Right.
It was a lot of buildup and drama of like, oh my God, can she jump? I don't know. I'm an adult. Right. I don't know if I can jump.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know.
Yeah. It was not, it was just to enable jump discourse. That is why they kept it in. Can I just say, I know that I'm like sour on Survivor this season. I was actually pretty high on it a couple episodes ago, but now I'm back on being like, whatever. But they always trick me with the two challenges per episode, where the first one is for luxury and the second reward, one is for immunity.
But they don't always do that.
I know they always do it, but they do it
they
and
they don't
always
like, do it.
Oh, they don't always do it. Well, they did it this episode.
Yeah.
They do it this episode. And I'm always thinking to myself, like, oh, well, this team, wow, they really proved themselves. And this week they're safe. And then it's different because it's then we have to do the immunity challenge. And I'm just like, people were saying, oh, we needed more challenges. We need more challenges in these episodes because they're dragging. I think we already have enough challenges. I'm already confused about who's staying, who's going, who won, who didn't. So I'm good on the amount of challenges.
Yeah, two is fine. Two is fine. And sometimes they do one. I mean, especially because the challenges are all the same.
Like, yeah. They need to start. They need to bring in like fire. I guess they do sometimes have an element of fire. They need to just mix it up.
What about archery?
They need to theme it up. Yeah, archery.
What about archery?
Yeah.
What about like a sort of like Survivor-esque game of Battleship where they're like standing and they have to like do D3 and they can't see it, but it's like big or whatever. And they drop a big balloon full of goop on them.
It's so funny because like the examples I'm trying to think of, I'm like, they should be left alone in the wilderness. And like, we should see how long it takes for them to actually find food and fight off disease. But that show exists already and it's called Alone. So that's what I'm like more interested
in. Naked and Afraid. What about a singing competition?
Oh my God. Then I'd go on Survivor.
What about you?
Wait, which reminds me.
Bring them to their worst possible moment ever. And then you have a singing competition and they get great, like they get graded and the team that does the best.
Yes. I absolutely love that. They have to make like little dance moves too.
What about like darkness? What Big Brother has these darkness challenges where they put them in a damn haunted house that's like the Exorcist themed Exorcist twins version. Remember the twin Exorcist that happened last summer?
Yeah.
And they brought back Hysum. They're like, we like you. You're good, better television than half of these knuckleheads. Why don't you do the haunted house maze? Put them in a cave full of bats.
Ooh. Batman. Cross promotion.
Yeah. Maybe they don't have to put them in like an actual cave full of bats, but like do something that approximates that because they're in Survivor. I don't know.
I think these are all great ideas.
I know. I'm full of them. Hire me, CBS.
I texted Brett, I'm alive on Survivor with a music note, and he didn't get the reference. So I'm checking. I'm doing a check. I don't know if we got different ads, but like on the Canadian network that I was watching, there were like these interstitial ads with Jeff hosting. Like they were the like Come Be on Survivor ads, but they had this specific song, and I'm sort of like, were they A/B testing to see if like it's a hit in Canada? Oh. Because it was like, I'm alive on Survivor. It was like, a hard rock song, and I'm like, did Jeff write this song? Because it was the lyrics. You know how they make fun of lyrics on like Sunset, Selling Sunset, and Love Is Blind, because the lyrics are like so literal. The lyrics are like, I'm on my way to sell my house with my hair done and my little bag. And it's like, it's so literal. That's what this song was like. But it was like the Jeff being like, do you have what it takes to be on Survivor? But then it had this lyric of like, I'm alive on Survivor. You didn't get this at all?
No. First of all, if you can believe it, I haven't seen Selling Sunset.
Well, no, I don't watch that either, but I know that the songs are like that.
I have so many things to say. First of all, second of all, you have a great voice.
Shut up.
I don't know. I mean, maybe
trying.
We have it.
For the record,
I do like skip through commercials and stuff. So like they might have had that and like I might have fast forwarded through it. So
okay.
I don't
know. Well,
I can go back or I can pay more attention next week.
That was the main lyric, but there was a secondary lyric, which I'm forgetting now, but I think it was something like, I'm alive on Survivor. And then it was like, I go far on Survivor. Like,
oh my God.
It was just like so good. It was so good. And it was like, I was picturing Jeff writing it and singing it and like going to the studio to like mix it.
Oh my God.
With sunglasses on.
Or like he's in the booth with the sound, with the soundboard or whatever.
Like in We Came Together, that one little part in We Came Together.
God. I haven't seen We Came Together since it came out. Oh, okay. I do love that movie.
Okay. Hey, that's like Danielle, my favorite part. Yeah.
Thanks.
my man, Mikey Shannon, making a cameo appearance at the end of that movie. Sealed the deal for me. But anyway, I think that's all I have to say about Survivor.
I have more to say.
Okay.
It's time. It's time to crown the true Brady All-Star of the season.
Oh. Let's see. Okay.
Can you guess who it is? As she drinks her
I don't know anyone's names.
Okay, great.
Venus. The only people whose names I know are the actual stars, not Brady All-Stars.
Oh, yeah, Venus. Yeah, Venus is absolutely a Brady All-Star. Jem. We love Jem, who is the one who found the idol. No.
Oh.
That's Liz.
Oh.
The nerdy one? No. Jem is the young woman who found the idol on the green camp and then buried it and then took the clue and put it on the tree full of ants.
Yes.
to cause chaos. I don't know if I necessarily... theoretically, I think the move is good. I don't know if the move is like very well thought out because I wrote this down when this happened. I'm like, okay, well, they're going to find the clue and then they're going to find that the idol isn't there. Then someone's instantly going to be like, well, someone has it. Someone already found it and someone's fucking with us, which I don't know if you want to create that because then it puts you in the car. At least one person's going to know that someone is like doing a little trick on everybody.
Yeah.
Someone is a chaos agent inside of the camp. And I was like, I like this in theory, but I don't know if it's like completely well thought out. I almost would move the box. My thought was move the box as well and the clue. So then when the person who finds it, they go back. The clue in the box says, look for the next clue after you lose the next your next immunity challenge. The clue will be in this location. You know where that location is. Move the box. So when Maria finds the box at location two and they lose the competition, then there's no clue there. Then people are going to be like, it gives you more time until people start freaking out and realizing that there's like a liar, that there's a saboteur in the camp.
Midst. Yeah.
That's how what I would have done. But I kind of like this, and I was just afraid for Jem. I was like, oh, no, someone's going to find out, and they're going to blame her or whatever, but she plays it so cool. And that's exactly what happens. Eventually, little Taylor Swift boy was like, I think someone's like, I think we're being played with. I think someone found this box already and put this in a place to fuck with us.
He's a Brady All-Star, too.
What immediately happens... No, he is a non-star.
He's surprising every time he's on camera. I'm like, that guy.
Who?
No,
he even did, when they jumped off of the platforms and the thing, he screamed Taylor Swift. Like, grow up, man. Come on.
We don't like being pandered to.
No, I hate it. Just grow up. Like, you like her. Fantastic. Lots of people like very famous musical artists. Amazing. Yeah. Ever heard of the Beatles? never heard of them. Anyways, but they find it. They're like, ooh, maybe there is a saboteur in the camp, but no one suspects Jem. People come up to Jem. Hey, I think it's this guy. Hey, I think it's that guy. they all think it's Tim. And Jem is like, yeah, totally Tim.
So that totally
solidifies Brady All-Star status for Jem. I think I'm high on Jem.
People going
the righteous gemstones.
Oh my gosh, yes. People Jem and the what's that Jem cartoon, the band?
Jem and the I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the word. Is Jem and
the crystals.
And the heartstones? Gem and the Holograms.
Oh, Gem and the Holograms.
Gem and the Holograms.
When people go on Survivor, they should either, they should go in with, there's two strategies. One, be a Bready All-Star.
Bonner.
Two, don't. Yeah, two, Bonner. Bready All-Star is a legitimate strategy on Survivor. And clearly, yeah, Gem has leached onto it.
Yeah, I mean, this show is popular enough where people should know that strategy. Be quiet, do nothing.
Yeah. Well, she caused a little chaos. But
cause,
you have to
cause a little bit of chaos, but silently.
You have to be such a nothing that when you do cause chaos, no one suspects you.
Yeah. Jim,
that's
who?
That's the key. Yeah.
Tim? Oh, yeah, Tim. Yeah, yeah. That's all I have to say. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Just back to Banu.
Oh.
One last time. He's like begging on his knees. He's crying. Yeah. He's cursing at God himself or herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. It was just like, poor fella.
Inclusive.
Poor fella.
Yeah. But you know what? He'll be fine. He'll be fine. He's got a good, I feel like it was just like, you know, since he was on Survivor, this was the most important thing. The next, he's going to go become, what was he, in HR? He's going to go find a great HR job.
He's like an IT.
Oh, yeah.
He's like an IT specialist or something.
Yeah. The next IT job he goes on, he's going to feel that passionate about too.
Yeah. He feels passionate about everything. That's how
what a great life. What a beautiful life.
Well, here's what needs to happen. We need to merge soon or we need to shake up the tribes.
It's only been four episodes.
It's been four fucking years watching this show.
I mean, that's crazy. Also, it feels like it's been a lot longer for me to already have lost. I've already been up and down with this one, and I'm on a down right now.
Oh yeah. Well, I thought you were happy today. I thought you were in a good mood.
Oh,
I thought
I'm you had happy. The Irish in general, okay. I'm happy, but I mean, on Survivor,
we need to shake up the snow globe here. Like,
yeah, the sub-hub.
Okay, let's go. Let's go. The StubHub?
That's what sounded like you said. The StubHub ticket prices.
Snow Globe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm a SeatGeek loyalist.
Are you?
Yeah.
I don't use any of them. I don't go to shows.
You don't go to anything, yeah. I am, well, it's time to change the subject anyway. I'm going on a three-city Midwestern baseball tour this summer for the boys only. And I just bought tickets to four baseball games on SeatGeek yesterday. I had a lovely experience. The UI was fantastic.
How much was the service charge? Service fee?
Incredible.
That's not a number.
It depends on the price of the ticket. Some games we got really good tickets really close, and some games were like, let's sit in the cheap seats, like losers. Like the real people. Of the various cities we're going to. Anyways, Danielle, also just letting you know, like probably around the start of Big Brother, I'm going to be on a Midwestern baseball tour.
Well, you better bring your mic because that's the best time to be podcasting about Big Brother.
That is, fuck. Yeah. Well, you know, we can bring my mic, or you can come visit me. You won't be too far away.
I've always wanted to visit Louisville, Kentucky.
Milwaukee.
Okay.
No.
I have watched, let me quickly talk about something I watched that Brett will never watch and has no interest in watching. I actually didn't have interest in watching it this season either, but enough friends were like, you have to, that I was like, fine. I watched a little of the beginning of Love is Blind season 6. Love is Blind, let's do a quick recap for Brett because you've never seen it, right?
I've seen the first season of it. And this week at work, a number of my coworkers were trying to be like, yo, it's time. And I'm like, I will talk about Survivor with you. I will talk about Big Brother, but I don't know about this.
I acquiesced because I had all this time alone this week. So I started watching it. It's like people in the pods, they have like their notebooks. They don't see each other. The whole point is they don't see each other. They're not supposed to talk about physical appearances. Yeah. And then they meet, and immediately when they meet, they have to propose to each other. And then all goes well, like 6 weeks later, they get married. But so I'm watching this show, and I don't know if, because I do remember enjoying it previously, even though it's, of course, very silly, ridiculous. But I'm just watching. I'm like, I feel so old because they're like, they're all like 25 and they're like, this is my last chance to find a husband or a wife. Like they're all so intense about like getting married. And as like an old married woman, I'm just like, you should be out dating a million people. Like, what do you mean getting married? What are you talking about? You guys should be out enjoying your 20s, having so much fun at the club. You should be at the club, not on Love is Blind. And it was just
you
like,
you should be out in Highland Park having men like me talk to you.
Yeah, exactly. I just couldn't, but like, it really hit me. And they show them talking about like serious relationship stuff, like finances or like having a kid together eventually. And the way they're talking, it's just so funny. The way they're talking to each other about, say, like, oh, will you move into my place versus we'll get a new place versus I'll move into your place. You're just like, you are so clearly not going to last. Just break up now. Like, why? They all are bad. They're all bad matches. There's not a single match where you're like, oh, maybe they did find love. No, this is like an insane show with with no one.
The thing that like, no the thing that person. I understand why they do it to create like kind of like a ticking timer and to create this drama for when they get out of the pods. The thing where it's like, oh, well, you also have to get legally married in 6 weeks, it adds this drama, but I think it's like counterintuitive to the experiment, or it doesn't help the actual experiment. It should be like, okay, you've chosen each other or whatever, like, and if you want to date, like, let us follow you for like in your regular lives.
Well, they like can say no at the altar. That's where a lot of drama comes from too. Cause like they get to the altar, they have to like put on the dress, put on the suit, meet at the altar, and then say, actually, I'm good in front of everyone's friends and family.
But what can you say? Like, actually, can you just be like a normal human adult and be like, I just met you on a television show. I really like you. I think we should like date and like possibly get married like 4 years from now.
You would think that you could do that, but you can't, because inevitably one of them, I feel like I've seen one of them try to do that, but the other one is like, I was ready to marry you. And now knowing that you feel like we need to take more time makes me feel like you're not sure. And so how can I be with you?
Yeah, exactly. I'm never sure that I want to marry someone after 6 weeks.
It is.
That's why I'm not.
It's a young person's show. And that's, I'm going to sneak into, it's a young person's show. Matt May agrees with me because he's also hashtag old.
More to say on Love is Blind. Because I did watch one season and I'm aware of it. Like I see clips. I'm on the internet.
It's a big one. Yeah.
I'm doing a podcast on the internet about pop culture. I'm aware. Two things. Oh, that's the one thing. The one thing is, like, they should, like, let people be humans on it. And, like, see if there is a spark to actually develop a relationship in a human way, like, a human natural way, and not, like, force them to be in this situation where it causes more drama. Sure, well, it's a television show. Okay. Second, not enough ugly people on the show. Not enough ugly people on the show. Everyone's too hot. I think
they find it too, that like, is, sad. To have. They don't want...
Well, if you want to play this up for the drama, if you want to play it up for the... For the falling in love and then the breaking up and then the tearing apart.
They're all hot.
You gotta have someone fall in love and then they see each other and they're like, whoa!
And it's like Quasimodo. Yeah.
Mom! Like, you gotta have someone do that. You gotta have that. When everyone's hot, love. Yeah.
What's the point?
Love isn't blind when everyone's hot. Right. Or love is blind when everyone's hot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, that's baked into the conceit of the show, is you don't know what they look like. You could be falling in love with an uggo.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that is
that
one.
I think is also one of the like core weaknesses in the casting of the show, is that they don't build up to that drama as well. You do want to see some people reject on first sight.
Okay, but here's the thing. They're also aware. I hear what you're saying, but like this does happen in this season even, where it's like, and I think they're trying to avoid being like absolutely dunking on people deemed like conventionally not attractive, right? Like they don't want to have Quasimodo on. where everyone's like, oh, look at this Fuggo guy. And then the, you know, a girl to his face, like, that's mean-spirited. Like, they don't actually want to do that.
The show is mean-spirited.
No, it's not. Well, it is, yeah, in general, yeah. But like, but the thing is, what you're describing still happens. Any reality dating
competition is mean-spirited, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, you're sorry, right.
What was that?
What?
What did you say?
I just think that what you're describing still happens is just because people still have types. People still, like, if you are just attracted to a dark-haired, light-eyed brunette who's at least 6'2", and you're presented to a short, furry, blonde guy, you are still going to be, you had the greatest banter. You agreed on everything personality-wise. Morals wise, whatever, goals. Then you see him and you're like, he's just not my type. It's going to be the same thing. And it does happen.
Yeah, that's interesting. That
does still happen though. They don't have to be, like, it's not that he's unattractive. He's just not her type.
Yeah, like, and do they, and also too, like, you see, it seems like everyone is kind of within a similar age range too. Like,
yeah, why don't we get someone?
Is there a 36-year-old? Podcaster.
Oh, yeah, so true.
Guy on there.
Who's now, like, that single. Is diverse. Yeah.
He's not, like, yeah. He's not ugly, but he's not hot. He does a good job. He lives in Northeast LA.
Yeah, he could fly in.
I would kill, I feel like they do it in Charlotte. I'm so fucking great to talk to. Women on the internet love to banter with me. Love, I'm such a good, I'm such a good Hinge, such a good Hinge match, such a good texter. And then they meet in person and they're like,
no. Well, that's sort of, but I'm saying,
love is not blind.
That is what happens. It happens still, even without casting people that would be conceived as Fuggos. But so, all this to say, I couldn't relate. There's like an epidemic. I say this as a married person, but there's like an epidemic. Maybe this has always been this case and I'm just noticing it more, of people thinking that, like, getting married is some sort of, like, end goal. When it's like, actually, there's like a lot.
Actually, the work begins. Married. No. Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Matt May in the chat says, agree with Danny from a fellow married old. That's why I can't watch the show. My wife loves it though. Well, that's from decades of like fairy tale stuff of like, and then they got married in the end. Like,
you're right. This is not
like,
new.
I think one of the reasons Frozen like really connected was that it was like about the relationship between these two sisters and about like, maybe I don't have to like marry a prince.
Right? No, it's all about like freezing things with your mind.
Yeah.
And that's way cooler. Yeah. And there's a snowman.
But like, where's the fairy tale that starts at the wedding? That starts at the wedding and they're like, what do we do? Tomorrow. Yeah, exactly. I don't like your coffee breath. I don't like it. You need Here's to brush your teeth in the
just
morning.
Just the way you like it.
Yeah. My favorite movie. But like, where's that? Where's that? That's your idea, Hollywood. Like, where's the fairy tale that starts at the wedding and is like, oh shit, like your credit score sucks. I hate the way you talk about me to your friends.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot. Oh, it can get juicy. But so, yeah, I can't relate to that.
I hate
so
I was your
like,
podcast.
Who would say that? No one would ever say that about our podcast.
Never.
I needed to watch something more like grounded and like about me and in my current state. So I went and watched Office Space. Watched that recently.
Yeah, I mean, it's always on like Comedy Central or CBS or whatever. So I'm always checking in for like 30 minutes on that movie. It's very good.
I haven't watched it in a long time. And I forgot that, like, the Office Space heroes, the guys in Office Space, are in their mid-20s. I'm actually, like, much older than them now.
Yeah, young Ronnie Livingston.
Yeah, so cute. It's so good. God. It's still so funny. It holds up. And it's just, like, kind of crazy that it's still so relevant to anyone who works in a corporate environment.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, that specific era of like corporate dronedom where it's like everyone is like has to wear this like beige suit and like make reports. I think like that's a little managers. Bit done. But I think there's probably like there is probably an up like an update, like a 2020s update.
Well, it was probably Silicon Valley. But I haven't seen that.
Yeah, well, no, you're right. Well, which is also Mike Judge, you know, like, you know, Mike Judge has a really great people like make fun of him or whatever for Beavis and Butthead. Mike Judge spoke, he went to UCSD, spoke at my he was like my commencement speaker. And he was like, yeah, Beavis and Butthead is your the guy who invented Beavis and Butthead is your commencement speaker. That age
better than mine. Do you know who mine was? Alec Baldwin. No. But it's really good. Whatever. It's really, really good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Mike Judge has got his finger on the pulse of satire. Like Office Space, Silicon Valley, Idiocracy, a movie that very much holds up.
Philip G.
What?
The chat. Philip G in the chat says shots fired. Literally so sad. Tough stuff.
I feel very bad.
I do have a question that's a complete 180. I have a complete 180 question. Is that guy James Bond now? Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Alec Baldwin. I saw some tweet yesterday that like he is.
Is it confirmed?
It's not confirmed. He's also old.
Is he old?
He's like, I think he's probably close to 40 if he's not 40.
Oh. I just keep seeing his pic. I keep seeing the words James Bond.
Oh, he's 33. Bond. Weird. Oh, God. I thought he was like younger. He's younger than me. I thought he was old.
He's young.
I guess so. I don't know. The Independent. Yeah, he's distancing himself from the rumors, according to The Independent.
Okay. Well, I just was like, is this confirmed? Because it's a big deal when they confirm a new James Bond. You know, it's like they're waving the Pope flag.
Do you know why he can't be James Bond?
Why?
Because he has an old wife. His wife is old.
His wife is old. He's young and his wife is old.
They're like, well, this guy can't be sexy and seduce the young women that James Bond needs to do because he only seduces old women.
I don't know. I've seen him in a lot of stuff at this point, I guess. He is very cute. He's good.
His wife is 57 years old.
Yeah. And they got together when he was 17.
Yeah.
He's
born in 1990. Okay. This is weird.
That's like something about
him is weird to me. I'm not crazy about him.
We don't know if the weird vibes are going to fit for James Bond.
I don't know. I don't know. Who
very
should
quickly,
be James Bond?
Because I feel like we have a rant coming from Brett that I'll be able to chime into a little bit. But like before we get to that, just very quickly, I did try watching Damsel starring Millie Bobby Brown on Netflix. It's like this new Netflix movie. I couldn't believe how bland and boring it was. The trailer was great. It's about like, it's sort of like classic story. They bring in this like little maiden to marry the prince and it's like, ooh, what a great upgrade. You're going to have a great life, blah, blah, blah. But then they actually did it because they're using her as like a human sacrifice towards a dragon. But it was, how do you make that so boring? It was so boring. I feel bad for Millie Bobby Brown in general, but I felt bad for her in that part.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at it like right now. It looks awful. Yeah, it looks awful. It just looks like regular Netflix, like.
It's really like AI. Like, what am I? Really who do. Cares like, about this? No one cared about making
all
this.
Yeah, they make all this. They make all these fucking movies and shit, and like nobody, like they're all bad. Like they're nobody. Well, here's the thing too. Like they all are like, well, this is the most watched movie ever. They're like this. More people have seen Damsel in the last day than have watched E.T. ever, and E.T. was the biggest movie of like. For the deck, you know, the entire 1980s or whatever.
Damsel is more like, important what? Than Titanic.
But nobody nobody talks about it. I don't know. It's
because there's nothing to discuss.
Netflix.
There's nothing to say.
I don't understand their like original content at all. Yeah. All of it looks like very bad. Whatever. Good. Like, and I've never seen any of these movies, but I guess these are movies. I don't know. Like 10, 20 years from now, when we're dead and like, the people 10, who 20, are like 10 years old.
10, 20 years from now when we're dead. Yeah. 10, 20?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be dead in 10 to 20 years. When I'm 45? No. I'm going to live so long, unfortunately.
Oh, you're going to be a great old lady.
Yeah.
Anyways. But like, okay, so this movie is maybe for like 10-year-olds or whatever, because it's like a little fun little dragon. She's the damsel in distress. Not anymore.
No.
She's got the sword. She fights the dragon.
Yeah.
Okay, but say this movie's for like 10-year-olds or mm-hmm. whatever. It's like a fun, like a little bit like dark action fantasy movie. When these people are like 30 or whatever and doing their pop culture podcast, are they like, oh yes, love rewatching Damsel on a Saturday afternoon, like the way that we would watch?
I don't think so.
No, these movies are completely forgettable and they're like,
yeah. You can't Why make it through. Like you really can't make it through watching them. I challenge someone to make it through the whole, like, whatever, 2 hours.
1 hour, 47 minutes. Speaking of classic movies to rewatch on a Saturday afternoon, I got some words. The Beetlejuice trailer came out this week, the sequel to Beetlejuice. Also this week, Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire is coming out, the fifth Beetle Ghostbuster movie.
I guess another.
The fourth in the original, like, that's like related to the other movies, because like the Kristen Wiig one is like separate, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Separate and unequal.
But also, just so everyone knows, last night the new Roadhouse movie was also released. The remake of Roadhouse. Yeah. Which I will be watching tonight.
That one is a slightly different because I'm going to put that one in a slightly different category, which is to say we're in the middle of an epidemic.
Mm.
An epidemic from the lab has leaked, the I believe in the lab leak theory, which is the lab has leaked the bad movies. Okay, so we've had like a decade now of these movies that are like these kind of like, it's not a sequel, it's not a reboot. It's like, oh, it's the next generation 20 years later. It started with like the new Star Wars movies, like the most recent Star Wars trilogy. Every trailer for these movies is literally exactly the same, which is mm-hmm. like a down tempo or like kind of like whispery, like rendition of like a classic song or the classic melody from movie from the 80s, and characters walking into a room and like taking off the sheet. They gotta rip down the sheet. Oh no, it's the Millennium Falcon. That, what is this? Oh no, it's the little Beetlejuice town that Beetlejuice lived in. All of these trailers are literally exactly the same. It's like, oh, a young person discovers a mystery, but it's actually this thing from the past that we all, as the audience, know and love. And that's exactly what this trailer is. Jenna Ortega, she's living in the Beetlejuice house. And they're playing like the Daylight Coming, Me Wanna Go Home song, but like down, but like low key, and like a children's choir singing it. And it's like, she finds the Beetlejuice town, she rips, and it's like, oh, unlock a mystery, have a new, a new generation discovers the magic of the fucking like mean demon guy farts and burps. And that's all it is. And it's like,
do you think Beetlejuice is going to be woke?
Oh my God. I bet he's going to be like not woke.
It'd be so funny if they made him like female Beetlejuice too. Like he married a wife. Like,
but like, here's the thing: like, Hollywood is a business. Movie making is a business. People do this to make money, right? Like, we think of this industry as craven, as cutthroat, as lacking creativity in order to make money. But here's my question, though.
Yeah.
Have any of these movies been good or made enough money to justify making them? Like, they want to make these movies as a bet to be like, we need to make Beetlejuice into the next $5 billion franchise so we can make Beetlejuice land and, like Star Warsify any fucking franchise that existed in the 80s. And even Star Wars is like losing its luster a little bit.
Yeah.
But even as like a craven businessman, why would you fucking make one of these? Because these movies, nobody likes these movies, and they do okay at the box office, but probably not nearly enough to make their money back, especially with how much advertising and marketing you have to put into them. Like, what are we doing?
I think they're just like, we have the rights. We might as well. We have the rights.
Yeah, and people will see it, I guess, like, because they're familiar with it. But
it's also like internationally, right? Like, they want it to play not just in America.
Do fucking people in like Egypt are like, they're like, shit, fuck, we gotta see Beetlejuice. He's the ghoul that Mama farts. Mamma mia,
Beetlejuicy. Maybe. I don't know.
Like, what are we doing? I would understand if they kept making this stuff, if it made a lot of money and people liked it. But all these movies just keep coming out and they do okay at the box office. And everyone critically is like, yeah, this kind of sucks. Like, other than Top Gun Maverick.
Maverick. Maverick.
These movies like all kind of fail and flop and they're kind of just forgotten. So I would say be better business people. Like,
yeah.
Make a movie that people want to see. Like, create a new franchise. Create something that actually has an opportunity to be a home run instead of like a kind of a droopy single. So.
But there's only three people in Hollywood who can do that, Brett. One, James Cameron with Avatar.
Jimmy.
Two and three, Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell with Anyone But You. Those are the only people in Hollywood who can make Twisters. Original films. Yeah, and he's in Twisters. So, you know, it's tough. What's the distinction?
Ghostbusters movie that's coming out this weekend is like tracking to make like $40 million or something like that, which and is like not that much money for like the scale of the movie that is and the amount of advertising that went into that movie. What are you doing?
And they're just like so old.
You're not, you know who's not old? The queen, the goddess, Carrie Coon.
Okay, is she in them? She's in
there? Yeah, she's like the adult lead in the movie that's not like the old. Oh. Yeah, it's like Carrie Coon and Paul Rudd are like the
leads. You're telling me now for the first time. Is she like Bill Murray's daughter or something?
No, I don't know. Oh. I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't know. I haven't seen. I was done. I was done. Like, I don't know. I haven't seen the Paul Rudd universe of Ghostbuster movies. I never will. Like,
it's also called like Ghostbusters Deep Freeze.
Frozen Empire.
Yeah.
They also have horrible names for these movies. They have to keep them like as like vague as possible. Like the Aquaman movie, I'm gonna kill Aquaman's family. The Aquaman's movie was called like The Lost Kingdom. Okay, whatever.
The, like, and Transformers, then there's this one's the called Frozen Empire.
Yeah. And then the King Kong X Godzilla, because they're not fighting, they're like fighting making together.
A
movie
they're
is called like
collab.
The Lost Empire. It's called The Lost Empire. Like, do you guys just have like a Mad Libs board, but you only actually have four words to choose from? Empire, Lost Kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay, Frozen. Okay, cool. This time.
Well, they are also like, Frozen's a hit. Frozen is a hit film. Oh, we gotta put that word in the title. Girls love Frozen. That's how we're gonna get the female audiences in.
Oh, yeah. That and Carrie Coon. Maybe she brings her husband from...
Oh, then I'd be there. Then I'd be seated. Okay, so what's the distinction between that and Roadhouse, which I will be watching tonight?
I don't think that there's like as much of like a nostalgia porn and like remember the 80s and like, oh, like they don't go to the Roadhouse and pull a giant sheet off of it and be like, oh, what is this? A new generation? I think it's just Jake Gyllenhaal punching people.
Yes. I will be watching. I'm very excited. I loved the original Roadhouse, actually. Have you seen it, Brett?
I have not seen the original Roadhouse, and I will not be seeing the new Roadhouse. Not interested.
That's what's on my to-watch list this weekend. That
and I would love to hear what you...
Just have you ever seen American Movie, the documentary?
No.
That's on my list too.
I only watch foreign films.
Anatomy
I'm interested to know what you think of and what the reception is to Roadhouse, because Gyllenhaal and whoever like directed it, they like really like the movie. They think it rocks. Doug Liman, director of Swingers and Edge of Tomorrow. Good movies.
Yeah.
They made this movie, and it's an Amazon film.
Yeah.
And Amazon was like, Amazon was like, great. Glad you made the movie. We'll put it on our dinky streaming service.
And Doug,
you can watch it. You can watch it in between episodes of Reacher. How big ordering. He is. He's Reacher.
By the way. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, and then Doug Liman and Gyllenhaal, Hollywood stars. Above and behind the camera, in front of and behind the camera, they're like, they like found Jeff Bezos. They like found his boat, and they like flew to his boat in the middle of the Mediterranean, and they brought the Blu-ray of the movie or the thumb drive with the movie on it. And they were like, "We will. This happened. We will not accept being put on your dinky streaming service. You need to watch this movie, see how good it is, and then release it in theaters."
Yeah.
And they made Jeff. They like found they. Flew to his yacht and like made him watch it. And Jeffy Bezos, hey Jeff, was like, no, I'm good. And that's why the movie's on streaming.
I know. I don't know. I don't have the highest hopes, but I think it's gonna be like hot, sweaty boys fighting, and so that's enough for me.
Yeah.
Philip G says, y'all haven't even mentioned Barbara Broccoli in a while.
I haven't, because here's why.
We missed it.
Here's why.
Go ahead.
I didn't want to bring this up, but there's possibly, with the Aaron Taylor Johnson situation, a love triangle situation. Because if there is any woman older than Aaron Taylor Johnson's wife, it is Barbara Broccoli, the heir to the 007 film franchise throne.
Barbara Broccoli. Why? I can't believe she never considered changing her name. I love it. I'm glad she didn't.
What would you change it to?
Barbara.
Barbara Smith?
Barbara Garrett. Barbara Head of Lettuce. Okay, well, I will never see... I actually am going to watch Beetlejuice. I will never watch Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call? Yeah. Bustin makes me feel good. I'm not going to be watching it.
That's in the trailer. That's in the trailer of the movie, is Paul Rudd being like... He's saying like...
No
he's
way.
Referencing the song. He's like, Bustin makes me feel good. I mean,
no.
And like, Carrie Coon as his like disapproving wife is like, Steven. And he's like, yeah, so well, it does. It makes me feel... And he's just...
Oh my God.
Paul Rudd's just riffing.
That means that someone from UCB circa 2015 was writing punch-ups on the movie.
Yeah, probably someone we did improv with 10 years ago probably
wrote and
directed the movie. It's probably making a lot more money than you and I are making combined.
Yeah, it's true. Well, that's the current state of movies that we're in, guys. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing to see. I saw Dune, too, and there's nothing else coming out. For a little bit. I do want to see Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
I don't. We've talked about this, right? I don't like the monkeys. No, I'm team monkey.
Yeah, I know. Well, I guess now you can't be team monkey. Now you have to be team human. Because the
No,
monkeys
I won't.
There's so many. They're evil now. They're apes. But
like. Yeah. I know they're apes. Sorry. I don't think we have any questions or comments that we need to read out. I think we kind of covered things.
Yeah, MREP in the comments says that Jem is iconic. Agree. Brady All-Star. Discord, we missed a question from last week from Emma, who wanted to know if Banu is a liability or an asset. And I think we found out the answer. Sorry, we skipped your question last week.
It was
week,
answered Emma. For us. I want to shout out Misto Jen and Spicy Marco for really keeping the Big Brother chat alive with the fact that Big Brother Canada is currently airing, because you guys know I ain't watching. I ain't interested.
But you're so close. You're so close. Big Brother Canada 11, I guess, is happening right now, and people are putting... People are definitely dropping like clips in the Big Brother section of our Discord.
Yeah.
You can sign up for the Discord, by the way, in the episode description.
I think the Discord's really going to pop off this summer with this season of Big Brother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
I can't either. Even though it's freaking snow on the ground right now, so it feels very far away. But it'll be soon.
I've recently been very close to the CBS Radford lot. And let me tell you, many people are talking. Many people are talking. Wow, this new season is going to be good. Saw the script for it. It was really good. Saw the pre-tapes of the Hey Julie episodes about it. Really good. Really good season.
So exciting. Well, thank you all for listening, for being here in the chat. We love it.
We did it. We almost made it a full hour.
I know. I said to Brett,
it's 54 minutes by my count right now. And 56 minutes ago, you and I were like, I don't see how this episode is going to be longer than 15 minutes.
Yeah. And we did it. We managed. Let me just make sure I got everything on my little notes. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Okay, great. My notes. My notes say, is that guy James Bond now? Okay. I really covered it all.
I
don't believe it.
I think they would want to go younger. I would vote some younger guy.
Paul Mescal. He's Irish. I don't think he's allowed to be James Bond.
Oh, yeah.
They're very strict. Barbara Broccoli is so strict. You better eat your broccoli. Like, she is so strict about who's James Bond. Steamed
broccoli.
Thank you all so much. We'll see you next time. Bye, Jeffy.
Bye, Jeffy.